Bam, hello. Welcome to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. We have probably, I think, an unprecedented event in this episode. We will be reviewing three episodes of a show because we got really behind. A little backstory. I broke my mic. My mic
Oh.
cord got stepped on in the living room. And I couldn't figure out what to do. And then coincidentally, my roommate had a microphone cord that I could borrow. So we're back on track. We're back on track. And that feels great because we have a lot to talk about. So these episodes are wild. Four, five, and six have each increased with batshittery with each episode. You know, we have four, which is a pretty standard Book of Boba episode. Containing standard Book of Boba things. Most of the time, actually, for the first time in a while, I think the flashbacks don't focus on, actually, the first time ever, the flashbacks don't focus on the Tusken Raiders. They instead focus on Boba's trying to steal back his ship from the castle. What is that called? Jabba's Palace.
Yes.
So
I don't
that's
know
our
if that's his name, right? There's no canonical name for Jabba's Palace besides Jabba's Palace. I'm hoping not, right?
It used to be a monastery, so if I can't
Oh.
remember correctly, no, I don't know the name of the order, but Jabba's Palace used to be something else. It used to be, well, it is now called Boba's Palace, my bad. But
Right.
Jabba's Palace,
Show some respect for the new daimyo.
Daimyo. Yeah, it used to be the Bomar Order Monastery.
Huh, look at that. I learned something today.
And then it was taken over by Boba Fett. But you know those little spider guys with the brains?
Oh, yeah.
Those are monks, technically.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I saw a TikTok about those guys.
Yeah, they're Bomar monks. Bomar Monk is also a record producer. I just learned by looking it up. So free shout out to him, them. I don't know anything about them. Anyways, what we're really wanting to talk about, and we'll review them episode by episode once I get done with the synopsis, is just to re refresh our memories. Four includes the killing of the Sarlacc pit, as far as we know. Boba Fett uses his boom thing. What is that called?
Oh shoot.
Seismic charge to
Yeah, there we go.
kill it. And then he learns that his armor's been taken, and then we see the whole deal with the Mandalorian at the very. No, I don't think we actually ever see the Mandalorian meet Cobb, if I'm remembering correctly.
What are you talking about?
In the episode, four.
No, and five he does.
Yeah, I don't really remember how four ends.
Four ends.
Oh, four ends, they go like, oh, we need help. We need to build an army.
Fennec Shand goes, credits can buy muscle, and then they play the Mandalorian
Flute.
music, and it's like,
Yeah.
ooh, who could the scary flute man be? It's like, oh, of course we know who it is.
Okay.
It's Dina Djarin.
Yeah, my quick thoughts on this episode was probably like the slowest episode for me. You know, we came off of that chase episode from episode three, the chase scene from episode three into this one. And each time, you know, we've had an episode focus around Boba, it has been, it kind of promises that it's going to lead to something else. And that's what this episode did too. And that kind of pisses me off because it's kind of like, why not just have the content of an episode in an episode? Why do you have to keep alluding and hinting to other things? And the reason that pisses me off is because when they pay off, it's always just to say and set up another thing. And that bothers me because that ends up meaning that no episode that focused on Boba, notice my lingo there, we'll get there. No episode that focused on Boba has been substantive. It's just been kind of filler in his own show. He had four episodes of filler in his own show, which is just so disturbing to me because we didn't really get anywhere. The big reveal in episode three and then kind of into episode four was that the Pikes were coming on the planet, and we already kind of knew that. So these first four episodes were really bland. And just not a lot going on. And I like Boba a lot. He's an awesome character, but I don't know. These first four episodes just didn't really do it for me that much. That second episode, I think I gave an 8. I might adjust that post hoc to be like a 7. This episode, I think I'm giving it a 6. Episode 4, yeah. Chuck, what are your thoughts on this one? If you can remember that far back.
I can't really disagree with it. I mean, just the opening four the opening four episodes, I mean, it was just exciting. Oh, you know, we get to go more in depth on Boba Fett. And I mean, we added some stuff, you know, which was fine. And then you bring in the nice chrysanthemum, you bring some of the Hutts in. But yeah, I mean, kind of what you said, you kind of keep alluding to things and then you never really, it's like we were chasing something, but at the same time, we were going at a snail's pace, which is really confusing, but it's just kind of how the show went for me for a bit there. So yeah, I mean, it was just like, I don't know, it didn't leave the satisfying taste in your mouth that some of the episodes from other shows on Disney Plus have. So I think I mean, it wasn't horrible. So I think a six is accurate.
So moving on to episode 5, Return of the Mandalorian. One of the strangest episodes of the Book of Boba, because he was not in it. This episode fully featured the return of Din Djarin after being absent for the first four episodes. After being hinted at, he is revealed to be back on the bounty hunting grind, working up money to get a new ship. While also, I think, tracking down his kin. So he figures out basically where the Mandalorian covert is. And he meets up with them and kind of is like, hey, here's what's happened to me lately. What do you guys think? And the other Mandalorians, they kind of judge him for his, you know, attachment to Grogu, and then also judging him for his actions just in general of bounty hunting. Or not really, I don't know. It was weird. They gave off weird vibes because they always were judging him, especially Paz. But then he reveals he has the Darksaber, and they're like, oh man, somebody's speed racing outside. That's awesome. Anyways, it's not awesome, by the way. It's not awesome. Speed racing is not great. Speed Racer, the movie by the Wachowski sisters.
Oh god.
Cause that one's not bad. I don't like Emil Hirsch, but I do like
that's that a name I haven't heard in a while.
Right? Holy crap. Let's look something up real quick. I seem to remember his name was floated for young Han Solo too.
I can kind of see it.
I know a lot of fans were thinking about him, especially because he ended up kind of looks like Alden Ehrenreich.
A little bit.
But, we got to talk about Han Solo at the end of this episode. But we have the Mandalorian coming back. It is revealed that the Armorer is still alive. It's revealed that Paz Vizsla is still alive. However, it is revealed that all the other Mandalorians from that covert are dead, which is sad and shitty, because that just doesn't make me feel good, because there were a lot of them. There were a ton of them. We also learned that the Mandalorian doesn't really get to be the Mandalorian anymore. He has to take his helmet. He told them that he took his helmet off, and they strip him of his title. Weirdly enough, they let him keep the Darksaber. I don't know what that's about. I guess that's the one part that they are respecting. During this, we kind of get one of the coolest shots I think we've ever seen in these shows. We get to see the destruction of Mandalore. I don't think I never would have thought we would have seen that in live action. That was insane.
The Night of a Thousand Tears.
Yeah, the Night of a Thousand Tears. Notably, no Eweb cannons. So
Oh, yeah.
I guess my boy Moff Gideon was talking out his ass a little bit.
Intimidation factor.
Yeah, just a little bit of intimidation tactic from the most intimidating actor so far in this series, in all any series that Disney Plus has done so far. Giancarlo Esposito. You guys, if you listen to the show,
You gotta know who Giancarlo is.
you guys know how much we like Giancarlo Esposito. He's a fantastic actor. Can't wait for him to be in Mandalorian season three. He better be.
He has to be. I mean,
Yeah,
was
we
what
gotta
he
wrap that.
was he's alive.
Yeah, gotta wrap that up. So it follows him to Tatooine. He gets a new ship. It's an N1 starfighter, the Naboo starfighters from episode one. Wild. Never thought we'd get one of those again. Never thought we'd see one of those again. So yeah, he gets an N1 starfighter. It kind of reveals that there's a big difference between flying a regular ship and a starfighter, which I kind of like because I don't think they've talked about that in the mainline movies yet. So I think that's really fun. But then also, Din gets to have an encounter with some space cops, some space deputies. And we have two fun appearances. So one, oh goodness, I'm gonna have to pull up his name.
Oh,
But
I thought you knew his name.
well, no. There's the one is a body double for Luke.
Oh, huh.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting. The pilot who had I can't remember his name. Please tell me his name. Yeah, not gonna find it. Is it Graham Hamilton? It might be it. No, because they recast him. Anyways, oh, I might have found it. I'm so sorry. I should have had this prepared, but we kind of did this spuriously. Da 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 ba da ba da. Can't find it. Anyways, he's Luke's body double. I'd love to know his name. And then Max Lloyd Jones. There it is. Max Lloyd Jones. Who plays something Reed is his character's name, but he's a we get to see him, and we also get to see Paul Sun Young Lee return as Carson Teva, who is a fantastic actor. If you watch Kim's Convenience, you know just how fantastic this actor can be. And if you're going to watch the new Avatar live action series, you'll know how fantastic he is as well. If this were a different podcast, we could touch on that show, but since we are not, I'll let that show breeze on by. I think it's gonna be fine. Have you looked at
The
it
live
yet?
I mean, and I can't you can't judge things without really, because I know it exists. I don't know where they're at in development right
Yeah,
now.
I think they're still like putting together the main cast.
Oh yeah. It just it's tough, right? When you've got such a successful series.
Right.
Even Korra, right? I mean, that was, as far as I understand, that was pretty successful, right? I know a lot of people like that. It's just tough because there's such high, the bar is set so high, right? Like, if we're gonna use it how my brain works, we look at the Kraken, you look at Vegas, everybody sees their success, you know. Yeah, like Vegas is Avatar here, like the
Yeah.
original series, right? Everyone sees that and they think it's got to be as good as that. If it's not, it's a failure. It's like you can't look at it that way.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I have to let them go through their creative process, and you know, we'll see how that goes. But my initial thoughts are, I don't know if I want you to mess with something that's already so successful, right? It's like, do we need that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyways, sorry
So
about that detour from Star Wars.
no.
here's more Star Wars. He gets away from the space cops. Carson Tava recognizes him and is like, would you like to come have a chat? And the Mandalorian kind of dips out. To me, that means that we'll probably see our Space Rangers again. I really like the Space Rangers. I was really bummed when we heard that that show got put on hiatus for now. For reasons that we've talked about on the show, and I don't think we'll talk about again. But we'll see what happens with those guys. I love our Space Rangers, and I want to see them again soon. He lands, and Fennec Shand is like, hey, you want to come help? And Mando's like, yeah, but I gotta go do something first. Not my best. That episode was wacky, because was it the best episode of the series? Absolutely. Do I feel weird saying that because the main character was not in a single frame, a single second, a single millisecond? Yes. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think we talked about this in previous episodes that we've done of the show, right? Because we were talking about the book before the book of Boba Fett, and as we were looking forward to it, because I think, I don't know if it was Kathleen Kennedy, yes, I remembered her name, that this show was going to be like, there was going to be, part of it was going to be a launch pad into Mando season 3. But it's I think what it is, it's just so abrupt, right? It's like, yeah. Oh, all of a sudden it's Mando's show now. It's like, what the hell? Like there are people made jokes that, oh, surprise cameo, Boba Fett's in this new show. in what was it? Episode 6, is it? The last one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, Boba Fett cameo. Didn't see that coming. It's like, it's just so abrupt. And don't get me wrong, the episodes, I think it's Bryce Dallas Howard, and was it Dave last episode?
Uh-huh.
They were great episodes. It's just we've taken such a, like, it's like a sudden change. Like, in you know, it's like all of a sudden we're here now. It's I like the episodes, don't get me wrong, but how we got to them is a little, feels really sudden, I guess.
Yeah, it had some jumps that I just wasn't hugely a fan of. But overall, I would say that this episode was a solid 8. You gotta love The Mandalorian, and this show just proved that he is, for the foreseeable future, the guy who will run Star Wars now. It isn't my favorite. I won't lie. This feels weird to say, because I haven't been very outspoken about how I feel about this. But I don't know how awesome I feel about him being the centerpiece, because I kind of like him being the character that things happen around, and he has to respond, you know? Mm. I don't know if all these things should be happening through him. Right, because Luke, everything happens through Luke, because he's a central figure in how this galaxy is going to be shaped and how this story has been shaped. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that being the Mandalorian right now. For the foreseeable future, that's who he is, honestly. Unless they pivot to Ahsoka, which they could. But right now, it does feel like he's their centerpiece. Mm-hmm. I love him to bits. I love that he has his own show. He should continue to have his own show for as long as Pedro Pascal and Dave and John want to do it. I'm just saying their first names, because we're there now.
No.
but I just, ugh, I it makes me nervous, because I don't know if he should be a part of some of these bigger storylines to an extent that he is, you know, the main character. Like, if they do Thrawn, the Mandalorian shouldn't be the main character of that.
Yeah.
It should be Ahsoka, and it should be Luke.
It's not that you don't think he can be the main character. It's just, it doesn't feel like that right place for it to be.
No. And I think, like, if he handles all the underworld stuff, if he handles all the underworld stuff, then I'm there for it. But to have him deal with, like, some cosmic issue of good and evil, it just doesn't feel like his place.
I get that.
8 out of 10 for this episode.
Oh, 5? Oh, yeah. I would almost argue 8.5. I wouldn't necessarily say 9.
Okay.
I think 8.5 is my fair point there.
All right. I don't have much analysis for that episode because it was actually pretty light on lore and, you know, heaviness. Oh, it kind of sets up season 3. We'll get to that with speculation. This is going to be a longer episode. I'm sorry. So let's look at episode 6. This was a fucking doozy. Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to start.
Where do you begin?
Let's start with like the first couple shots, right? What, we have like a Mando's driving through the air or whatever, and he's landing on a big... Oh, I guess we see Cobb Vanth first.
Yes, Cobby.
Shooting some pikes.
Oh, yeah, and then dumping out the space drugs.
Yeah, and then like wasting a couple million dollars of space drugs. I'm just saying...
Because what was the comment, this is worth more than your village.
Yeah, this could buy your village. Okay. And Cobb Vanth said, I'm just going to pour it on the ground, actually. I'm sorry if you can hear my clickety-clacks. I'm looking up the name of this episode, because if I remember correctly, it correlates pretty much with the end.
Do these actually have names?
Yeah, the last one was the... Return of the Mandalorian.
It's awkward. I always keep, whenever I open them now, it just shows me like chapter 6, and I'm like, okay. Huh.
Yeah, the episode title is like A Stranger of the Desert or something like that. So we start with that, and then we go, From the Desert Comes a Stranger is this one. What a Western episode name. So we start with Cobb Vanth shooting some pikes. Pretty crazy to, you know, open the episode with a character we haven't seen for a year, just about. And then we fast over to the Mando landing on this planet, which I think it's Luke's temple planet. I don't remember what that planet's called.
Oh yeah, do we ever actually get a name? I don't know.
In the comics we do. I'm like 80% sure. I cannot for the life of me remember it. I could summon it if I tried really hard, but I don't. If you research it, I'll just
continue. Oh, the Disney wiki says unknown planet. Come on, dude.
He lands on unknown planet, and then he's met with R2-D2. So there you go. You start with Cobb Vanth, you get R2-D2. Then the Mandalorian sits for a little bit, and then we see Luke Skywalker and Grogu. So we have Luke again, the first time since the Mandalorian season 2 closed out at the start of 2021. Which just made me realize how long we've gone without the Mandalorian, which is sad. But it opens on that. Luke is revamped. His AI facial reconstruction is revamped, and it actually looks really good. What did you think about that this episode?
Oh, yeah. And I know that was such a big thing that people had complained about when we saw him in, at the end of season 2, right? Yeah. I thought he looked better than last time. I think if you sit there and you stare at his face, there's some obvious times where it looks a little odd. And I think there was one time where he was speaking to Grogu where you could tell the voice didn't match, the lips didn't, the movement of the mouth did not match what he said. But overall, like, I mean, we're not critiquing fucking cinema here, right? This isn't
for real.
So ultimately, I thought it was cool. I thought they did a good job. I mean, I wonder how much of the budget went to that. But I thought they did a good job. I think they've improved what they have from last time we saw them. And I remember I was talking to somebody like, it's really freaky that they can do that. I'm like, it's interesting, you know.
Well, don't forget, there's another CGI being that we have to talk about this episode. So I wonder how much of the budget was split between the two of these folks.
You want to do that? You want to wait?
Well, we got to get to our other surprise. Ahsoka was in this episode.
Yes.
I really didn't see that coming. I was kind of... If we went to Grogu Land, we were going to get Luke. We knew that.
Grogu Land.
Did I expect to see the Mandalorian go to Grogu Land this episode? Absolutely not. Because I kind of thought that was something they were going to save for season three of The Mandalorian. But we got it this episode, so be it. But yeah, we got Ahsoka, who's like helping Luke for whatever reason. They didn't get into granular detail here.
No, well, that's the thing, too, is she's just kind of there for that time and she dips. It's like,
and I wonder if it was just to ensure that the Mandalorian, I honestly don't know. And I maybe they maybe explain it.
I'm sure they'll explain it in Ahsoka, honestly.
Yeah, perhaps. Maybe Luke has a lead on Ezra.
Hmm.
But in any case, she explains to Mando that he can't really see Grogu right now because of the horrible, horrible, horrible Jedi laws.
That even actually follow.
Yeah, that are stupid.
Attachment rules, but actually, here's my dead master's lightsaber.
Mm. Yeah, for attachment purposes. So stupid. So you can only be attached to other Jedi.
Yeah.
Then Mando leaves, and he's kind of sad, and then we kind of go back to Boba's palace. We see Boba for the first time in a week, and he's just kind of standing there. I don't think he says any words.
Nope. No audio. His
hand is being the lieutenant and, you know, breaking down how they're going to go after the pikes, and the Mandalorian is there. And then she's like, we need a couple more troops. And then he's like, I know where we can get some. And then he goes to fuck. It's devolving. I think it's because I'm not sitting in a chair right now. He goes to Mos Pelgo, which is now Freetown, which is
stupidest name.
A really fucking dumb name. Did you notice that Cobb did not call it Freetown when he was talking to?
Yeah, no, he was just like, yeah, Mos. Oh yeah, he doesn't actually say it.
Yeah, he's like Mos Pelgo.
But the fucking bartender's like, hey, we're Freetown now.
We're Freetown now. I hate the bartender from Mos Pelgo. He sucks.
He seems like a grump.
Exactly. Mando's like, we could use some help. We'll pay you. And I know you guys don't want to get involved, but just think about the consequences if you don't help Boba now. Blah, blah, blah. Then Mando goes back. I don't really remember what happens after that. But nothing as important as the ending. Freetown clears out because Cobb Vanth sees somebody coming from the desert. In the mists of the desert and the scorching sun, he sees a figure walking menacingly. He just has the best vibe check reader of all time because he sees that shit and he's like, nope, nope, everybody go home. Everybody go home. Fuck, I don't know what's going on. But you guys got to go home. And I'm like, you know, honestly, if I were in the same position, I'd probably do something similar. Like, hey, yeah, this is scary. I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
They're really indulgent with revealing this character. I think they spend like 45 seconds showing him walk up to the street. It's kind of just like, okay, fuck, just tell us who it is. Because I was like, my mind was racing. I was between, okay, I know Han Solo's in this show, but this is a really weird way to introduce Han Solo. And then I was like, well, it's not Han Solo then. But what tipped me off was not the hat of this character. It was his belt buckle. And of course, we are talking about everybody's favorite Duros bounty hunter, Cad Bane. I am so unbelievably surprised that he was in this show. Didn't one of us, okay, I'll have to listen back, but didn't one of us say that he was going to be in this show? I don't think it was me. It might have been Omari, now that I think about it.
I think it was Omari.
But that he called that shot so long ago. I'll go back and listen to it. We'll talk about it next.
Yeah, episode. I think it was like early on, like predictions, like, okay, who's going to be in this?
Yeah, we each had top five characters or top three or whatever characters we wanted to see in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And weirdly enough, we got a couple. I asked for The Mandalorian and I received, although we knew he was going to be in this show. Did I ask for Luke? I don't think I asked for Luke. I think I might have even implored them not to do Luke.
I think you did actually.
So we'll have to listen back. That'll be fun to do when we close out the series next week. Which is sad to say, because then we're done until Kenobi. So we'll have to figure out how we're going to fill this time. I'm thinking we'll do a Mandalorian Season 1 rewatch, because we haven't done that on this mode yet. So, yeah, that's how that episode ends. Cad Bane shoots Cobb Vanth. I don't think he's dead, but he does shoot him. I think he gets shot in the collarbone, or like the shoulder. But his deputy, holy shit. He got murked. I have he not.
Was just kind of annoying.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he had it coming.
He's like, I'm not leaving you.
I don't know. It's like, come on. If you're going to let Cobb die, let him do it with honor. I have not seen a blaster death that violent before. That was pretty fucking crazy. He got shot like 5 times. Cad just was like, pew, 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 pew. And I was like, oh my God, stop.
You want to look at me funny and you want to not listen to me? All right. I'm just going to unleash my anger.
Cad looks great. I know a couple people were talking about he could have looked better, blah, 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 blah. You got to realize that conceptualizing a character that has only been seen, you know, animated into live action, there's going to be some inconsistencies. There's going to be some changes with dimension and with color.
Well, color comment. I don't know. I remember where I heard it from, but I was told that his species like pales out as they get older anyway.
I believe that. I mean,
so like, you know, I mean, you want to just address the elephant outright and just talk about that? Just like the reaction to his appearance?
Yeah. So a lot of people were not a fan of how light he was. I don't really care. If I'm completely honest,
nope.
I thought he looked great. He was fucking scary. Like, he was everything he needed to be as Cad Bane. they hit a lot of what they needed to. The color was a little bit off. I did notice it right away. But I just didn't care because it looks great. He looks great. And regardless of if Duros, you know, pale out as they get older or not, he is an older guy. He's been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, by the time this is around, what? I mean, he's been around. He was around for a good amount of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Was he not? So
chronologically, like, this is the first time we've seen him for 10 years.
Yeah, so, like, give the dude a break, okay?
Yeah, listen.
Get him some moisturizer.
Yeah, not everybody has your fucking Neutrogena, my G. Like, he doesn't cocoa got, butter. Like, your cocoa butter for his face. He will pale out. It's not his fault. And honestly, would you tell that to his face? I wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
He shot that deputy fucking 6 times.
The fastest gun in the world.
He is the fastest gun in the West. He's the fastest gun in the Outer Rim. Yeah, pretty insane ending. This episode had every inclination that it could be an overcrowded garbage fest full of fan service and nothing that actually contributes to the greater universe. But what it ended up being was a very interesting and complex setup to the end of this series, and perhaps even opening the doors to the other shows in regards to the Luke Jedi stuff. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this. Luke is forcing Grogu to choose between his Mandalorian identity and his Jedi identity. Stupid. And the way because Luke's stupid as fuck in this episode all of a sudden. I've said fuck probably a record time this episode. Holy shit.
I said fucking.
I know, that's crazy.
Just gonna have to put the swearing label.
Yeah, I put the E on every episode, regardless if we swear or not.
just to cover our bases.
We probably slip one in there and just don't notice. Luke, I don't get it. I don't get what his whole thing is with all of a sudden caring about attachment. I thought part of his whole deal was that he wasn't really on that train anymore. But
not.
Yeah, that might have just
But
been.
literally, what, after in the end of, I always like saying Revenge of the Jedi because it's a cooler name than Return of the Jedi. But literally, like, we could go through all these examples of Luke's attachment.
His sister, namely.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just
You're just
saying.
saying that as in his sister or like the kissing they did because that
Not
was
the kissing.
gross.
See,
Yeah,
like.
no. Like just it was just like so hypocritical. And like you said, it's like why now? Why? Oh, I'm gonna be the holy Jedi master guy. I have to be really like strict up the ass. Like, dude.
Bias and making sure everything is according to the order. Like, hey, newsflash, Buck, the order isn't there.
Yeah, it's like you're starting from scratch. Like, I think you can change some things this time around, no?
Yeah, the values are kind of yours, my guy. Like, anyways, yeah, that bothered me for the same reasons, and it made me not like Luke, which pisses me off because, as you guys know from our top 10, he's my number one. That this episode didn't ding him any points, but it was just disappointing to see him be written that way. And honestly, it's more narratively interesting, to be fair, and it fits the story. But yeah, this episode really set up a lot of things, and it was a really gorgeous episode. I'm pretty surprised that I enjoyed it because I don't usually like Dave Filoni episodes. I think Dave Filoni
Oh.
has created each of my least favorite episodes from each of the shows he's done that we've reviewed on here at least. So I was surprised because I think this is my favorite episode of the series so far. This might be my one of my favorite episodes of live action Star Wars series that we've had. Like it's up there with the better Mando episodes. Which is funny because so far this show has had nothing to touch the better Mando episodes. I'll give this one. I'm gonna give this one a 9, I think, straight up 9, yeah.
Yep, I go with that. Absolutely.
I was impressed by it. Like I said, it could have been crowded, but I think they didn't bloat it. It was fine. The ending with the Pikes blowing up the bar scared the fuck out of me because I thought Max Rebo was in there, but he wasn't.
He wasn't?
No, so okay, they very deliberately show you the band, and Max Rebo is not sitting at his keyboard.
Ah, Max went for a smoke break or something.
Yeah, Max said, I got a purple elephant in my ass out of here. Because
Purple.
something bad's going, or blue, I suppose.
It's like we're talking about the Hamburglar or something.
the hand Grimace?
Grimace. Wow. Okay. Good to know that Max is alive.
Yeah,
Hell yeah.
thank
I
God.
was worried there. I was like, damn, they just
Gave
killed
me
Max
hope.
off.
But that does mean our favorite
Felix.
I don't even think I can say this on our podcast.
I wouldn't.
Star Wars version of jazz player is dead. The member, the saxophone player who's a Bith. Do you know what they call jazz in Star Wars, Chuck?
Yeah, I do. I don't
Yeah.
like that I do.
Yeah, so we won't look up jazz in Star Wars and you guys will know. I
No,
don't
we
really
don't.
want to say it because we haven't crossed that line on our show.
I don't think we should.
And I don't think we will. But that also means that Garza Twip is dead, which is not great.
Yeah, not
She
very
didn't get to
catchy.
do fuck. She didn't get to do anything. Like,
Nope.
I kind of am bummed by that because I thought she was going to be a way more important character. It was just by the way they were setting her up. So maybe she lives, but I don't see it happening.
No, it just kind of seems like someone had to die. The Pikes
What
had
a
to make a statement of sorts.
dark way to do it, though. Holy shit,
I
that was one of the
know.
darker things we've ever seen in Star Wars. Like, just a
You forgot
straight,
your Kennis.
yeah, a straight up terrorist attack.
Pretty,
What?
yeah, pretty much.
That's insane. So there you go. That episode is wild. I we'll see what happens next week. I'm guessing we'll get some more characters. I don't like that we're gonna get one of them probably. Let's get into the speculation. There's an elephant in the room. There's a huge rumor that was corroborated by more than a couple people that Harrison Ford filmed a couple of scenes.
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford filmed a couple of scenes for the Book of Boba. and will be appearing as Han Solo, presumably only in the last episode. And these are the same people who are like, Din Djarin will be in 3 or 2 episodes and expect him to play a major role in the plot. Which, when I heard that, I was like, okay, so he's going to be like Boba's sidekick. Not he's going to hijack the whole show for 2 weeks. Although this episode was not a Mandalorian episode. It was weird because that was like Star Wars Galaxy episode. It had everybody in it. So I wouldn't mind looking at that type of storytelling for the greater universe. But anyways, I had a lot of fun with that. But I really don't know in terms of characters if we need Han Solo right now. I have a
I'm okay heart. Without it. Yeah. I just don't see Harrison Ford signing up for this, man. I mean,
so apparently he wanted to? Like, apparently he was down?
Are we talking about the same guy?
That's what I'm...
Name Harrison Ford?
So, there's such a cognitive disconnect here.
Oh, maybe it's Mariners prospect Harry Ford.
Right.
I don't know. If you're asking me, I think there's no way.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. And like narratively, I've read a couple theories and a couple of people I've talked to have been like, this could be how they do it. Maybe he's the one who has to drop off Grogu. Because Grogu makes his decision to be with Mando and
Space Taxi.
Luke's like, hey, thanks for dropping off your kid. Can you take this kid back to his dad? I know you're going to Tatooine. And I saw a really interesting theory on website that they kind of think that perhaps Luke is gonna be like, he's gonna have a shift of heart and be like, oh shit, wait, hold on, Tatooine's gonna get destroyed by a gang, I don't want that to happen, I'm gonna come back and take Han with me and Grogu to help Boba Fett fight the Pikes. That's my dream scenario. If that happens, so be it. You know, that's fine with me. But if it's just Han being there to be Han, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Just to point and go, hey, look, Han Solo.
Yeah, because you don't like, it's like if I have like a really shiny ring and it doesn't do anything, it's like, okay, great. What's the point? It's like, hey, Bennett, look at my ring.
Thanks.
Okay, what does it do? Oh, it's there. Okay. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just highly doubt it just because of, like, a lot of the general reaction Harrison Ford has had to, like, most of Star Wars. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, and I hope he just doesn't go in there and treat it like a Pro Bowl, you know what I mean?
Don't.
Just, like, go in there and be like, hello, it's me, Han Solo.
Hi, I am Han Solo. Here is your green thing.
Here's your flubby baby. Have a have a good time. I feel weird about it. I don't think I'll like it. Which sucks because I love Han Solo. He was in my top 5. I just don't think he needs to be in the series, if I'm honest. He doesn't really need to be there. You can tell. I used to think that it would be like, okay, you can't tell Boba Fett's story without telling Han Solo's story. I used to be on that boat. But, however, with the way this show has been moving, having Han Solo on board would just detract more from Boba Fett, and I just don't agree with it. That's enough about that. If he does come, I hope he's there to help and not just to be like, oh, I'm Han Solo.
Pretty much.
In terms of speculation, there's another elephant in the room.
Oh boy.
Season 7 of the Clone Wars, originally canceled, then brought back, had some key story arts released way back when Disney was first being bought by Lucasfilm, or other way around. Wow.
Yeah, Lucasfilm. They got pretty big, I guess.
Yeah, geez. Alternate timeline. So after that happened, they released these, you know, key arts and these concept arts. And we kind of saw an episode centered around Cad Bane and Boba, where Cad Bane had taken Boba under his wing and trained him a little bit. And they have a disagreement about a bounty, and they have a duel.
It's a funny way for saying he shot a child.
Is that really what happened?
That's what I've seen.
I think you're right. Holy shit.
That's how he gets the dent in his helmet.
So that's how he gets. Yeah, right. So they have the they have a duel, and Cad shoots Boba and Boba shoots Cad at the same time. And Cad Bane gets his head blown open, and Boba just has a dent in his helmet. Will they show that through a flashback? And we'll finally get our glorious, glorious Daniel Logan cameo.
Wow.
That'd be fucking
I met Daniel Logan, actually.
I love Daniel Logan.
He's I have his signature on my Clone Wars poster over there,
actually. Yeah, yeah. That's cool. He deserves to be on the show fucking more than anyone else. I'll tell you that much. More than Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. Sorry. Why, in my head.
Keep saying it like a baseball announcer.
I miss baseball. Wow, yeah, no, that would be a good... Huh. Why didn't you say that when we were talking about people you wanted?
Daniel Logan? Because I couldn't just be like, I want to see other Boba.
Tamara Morrison? Yeah, what about Daniel Logan?
I kind of expected Daniel Logan to be there the entire time. Whenever they flash back to him coming out of the pit in 1983, why'd I say that, in the Return of the Jedi, because I really expected it to just be like, oh, we know Tamara Morrison's too old to play 30-year-old himself, let's just get Daniel Logan to do it, who cares. Bummer, wish they did that. Now would be a good time to do it, because if they're doing Clone Wars Boba, you have Clone Wars Boba pretty much sitting on standby to do anything for Star Wars,
pretty much.
Let the man do something. Holy moly. I hope that's what they do. I would love to see a flashback to that event and then have them do a rematch at the end of the episode, probably to close out the season. But that's how I think that story arc's going to end. I think they're going to have a cowboy duel and Boba's going to fuck him up. Like, he's just going to shoot him. And that'll be the end of Cad Bane. I think Cad Bane dies. I don't see him making out of this series alive.
That would be a fitting ending, I feel like.
One more duel, one more chance for Boba to prove himself as, you know, the new bounty hunter king. The new crime king. And then we can all move on. Hey, I'm pissed that Hondo Ohnaka hasn't showed up yet.
I think we're being starved for Hondo content.
I know, I'm just begging for it. He wasn't in Bad Batch.
Nope.
He wasn't in the Book of Boba so far, and he probably won't be. Maybe he'll be in Kenobi. That'd be funny as fuck.
the one show I would not expect him to be in.
The best friend.
Obi-Wan's gonna need help with something. Hondo!
He's gonna need off-world transportation, and he's gonna have to go through Hondo, and it's gonna be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
So I'm still having my fingers crossed for
Hondo. Ewan McGregor and Hondo Ohnaka interaction.
Absolutely insane.
Huh.
But that's my speculation for how the show's going to end. I think the Pikes are going to get holistically defeated. I don't even think Boba's side is going to take casualty. You can't kill Fennec. I think Fennec is safe. Actually, yeah. Yes, we haven't done this for a while. Who do you think is going to bite it in the next episode, in the finale?
Besides Cad Bane. Ooh, okay. I don't know if this is a stretch, but I think Chrysantin eats shit.
No! Yeah. Ugh, that would suck.
I think he's going to play a really, like, he's going to do some really heroic shit, and yeah. He's going to bite it. I think he's going to bite it, because he's kind of been there, you know, and they showed... Well, he ripped the Pike's arm off? No. Oh, help me out here, Bennett.
Trandoshan?
Yeah, he ripped that Trandoshan's arm off.
Yeah,
he just seems pissed, you know. And I think he was like, you can see him for 2 seconds in that scene where Boba Fett is also seen, but he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think he's just gonna have a heroic, because you don't keep him around for nothing, right?
Exactly. He's either gonna have a heroic death scene or he's gonna go fucking sick and like destroy a bunch of shit and then just kind of look at Boba and go.
Yeah. So I think Chris Hansen needs shit. I'm sorry.
It almost sounds like you're saying Chris Hansen.
Oh no.
Why don't you take a seat over there? You know, like I said, I can't really see anybody on Boba's side taking the fall. The one I'm nervous about is Fennec, because I don't know how sustainable she is as a character. Because I just think Disney would make a misstep there. I hope they keep her around forever and ever and ever. As long as you have Boba, you have Fennec. That is my hope. But I just could see them doing the, oh, well, he loses his right-hand man, you know. And now he has to, stop. He has to take the gloves off and start just going insane on people, you know. And I could see her dying, sparking that in him. And then maybe we could get the cool theme again. The bum 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 bum. I love the way our auto captions just gave that to me. It said bump ba bump ba bump ba bump ba bump.
Close enough, right?
Yeah, close enough. I don't see anyone else really dying other than maybe her and maybe Chrysanthemum. I can see that. I think his fucking Rancor is a goner.
Oh yeah, because we haven't seen the Rancor.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't really know. I feel like this is going to be a pretty deathless, at least in terms of named characters, finale outside of Cad Bane, and maybe one person from Boba's side just to keep it interesting. I think that the leader of the mods is safe. I think she'll probably be in something else eventually, because you don't introduce a character like that just to have her sit and stew. Yeah. My prediction is probably just either Fennec Shand, Black Chrysanthemum, or the Rancor. I don't think more than one person dies on either side named. There's another elephant in the room. These keep happening.
How many elephants do we have?
God, like
are
three.
We a zoo?
Yeah, we're an elephant enclosure up in here.
Oh.
Unfortunately. We got... there's been another healthy rumor that... Kira's gonna be in this show.
Oh yeah,
I don't really want to touch that, more so because I don't know what happened in the War of the Bounty Hunters, which is where she was last featured, because I have not finished that yet, and I don't really have a fully formed thought on if she should be in this show or not. I can tell you that if she's in this show before someone like Bossk is, or like Dengar or IG-88, I wouldn't exactly be happy, because I associate those characters with Boba more than I associate Kira with Boba. Also, why would Kira be working with the Pikes?
Yeah, no. Like,
it doesn't make sense. So let's hope she's not in it and just kind of cross our fingers for that, because maybe that would make sense why Han's there. Maybe it wouldn't. I just like to move on without any more silly cameos, because listen, again, episode 6 had the opportunity to be cheesy and stupid and all these cameos mean nothing, and it teetered the line. Obviously it hit that perfect balance, obviously, but you got close and you don't want to go past that line. Now, episode 6 did have about 3 contenders for best scene of the series for me, and I'll reveal those now, my short list, just because they're on my mind. The Order 66 scene.
Sorry.
Which was insane. The Cad Bane reveal. And, I was a really big fan of Ahsoka and Luke watching Grogu train. That was wholesome as fuck. And it made me feel very sad when they started talking about Anakin. I wish they did it a little more, actually. Because I'm a sucker for that type of stuff.
Just like your father.
You know, just like your father. Father. I'm not gonna be able to.
And then she's like, okay, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, anyway, see ya. Smell you later.
Hey, remember your dad? Oh, sorry.
Boo hoo hoo. Does somebody miss his dad?
Luke reverts back to episode one, Luke, where he's just a total whiny bastard.
Oh, Uncle Owen died too, you know.
So we'll see.
Like, hey, yo.
Hey, Grogu's like, hey, I have not moved from this rock for like 10 minutes. Please, someone help me.
Can we leave now?
Can we go home? I'm so tired.
Base dad just left. I saw his ship.
I saw his ship. One. Oh, that broke my little heart. I'm excited to wrap the series up more so because I really want to see how it concludes. The last two episodes have been stellar. I'd love to see Boba get involved again. What are your final thoughts?
His own show.
Yeah, what are your thoughts for this trilogy of episodes we're kind of talking about tonight?
I mean, it kind of goes back to how we talked about, I think it's 5, because how many episodes we have total? 7?
6 right now.
I mean, in the show.
Oh, 7, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so it was 5, yeah. It's been, like, at least from 4 to 5 and 6, it's just been a really interesting jump. And again, like, as individual episodes, the last two, I am great with. They're great. But just the jump that we've taken is just really sudden. Not necessarily sudden, but, like, I guess the word I'm looking for is the transition was really interesting. So I guess like I feel like you have a bunch, not necessarily like a bunch of fabric loose ends that we need to somehow realign in correct fashion so that we can talk, because I don't think we're getting a season 2 of this show, right? I wouldn't think so.
We have not heard yet.
I doubt. I feel like if we were, we would know, right?
Maybe. I mean, we didn't know about Loki till
That's true.
It could be that. Who knows?
But yeah, I don't know. My thing is, like, how are you tying this all together?
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm really interested because, like, you got to now. You're in 0 hour, baby.
Yep.
So, you got probably 45 minutes to wrap this show up, and I don't know how you do it satisfyingly. Do I think that they're better writers than me and they probably can? Absolutely. I'm just really interested to see how they do it. And if there's some spillover into Mandalorian season 3 and this is setting up the big conflict of Mando season 3, whatever. But yeah, that closes out our Book of Boba talk, I think. Let's talk about Mandalorian season 3 very briefly.
Can we just talk about Mandalorian?
Well, we can. That's with season 2.5.
2.5.
2.5 man DeLoreans.
Wait. Who's the half?
Come on. Grogu.
Oh!
Yeah. How's that? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, I think we kind of got the shape of season 3 of The Mandalorian through episode 5. When the armorer kind of assigns him this new quest of bathe yourselves in the mines of Moria or whatever. Not Moria, that's the other thing. We'll see, but I think that's shaping up Mandalorian's new focus. I think he's gonna try to get himself back in good standings with all of Mandalore rather than just Bo-Katan. And God knows how their relationship is right now. We don't know what happened after Grogu left the ship. Could have been anything. Could have been she was like, hey, I hate you now, by the way, because you did take my darksaber. And that'd be totally justified. But if he's fallen out with both sides of his culture, I think he's gonna try really hard to unify Mandalore again, which is something that I believe Boba Fett does in the comics. So in the old canon. So perhaps that is the trajectory we are headed on. And I still have a gut feeling that we're setting up Thrawn. I still have a feeling we're setting up Heir to the Empire. I just can't prove it yet. That's still my gut feeling, though. With the shows that are coming out, it feels like that's where about where we're headed. Once Kenobi ends, and we can fully focus all our energy in this in between 6 and 7 zone, I think we're gonna start to full send the Thrawn story arc, which I love because it's an amazing story arc in the comic book, and actually it's a novel, but I've only read the graphic novel version of it. But yeah, I'd be on the lookout for any more hints towards our blue friend. If we get a Thrawn like cameo at the end of this thing, I will poop myself. That is something where I will like. Maybe that's okay. You know what I mean? But we'll see. I'm interested to see how this whole thing closes out.
Because is it Wednesday yet?
What? Is it Wednesday yet? No.
Is it Wednesday? Do you mean, is it tomorrow night at midnight?
It's 11:43, buddy. You're jumping the gun a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I sure am. Sorry about that. Tuesday night midnights have become funny because we will be watching something else in my house, and I will be like, okay, pause.
We gotta
go to Disney Plus, sorry. All right. Chuck, do you want to give us the outro?
No, it's not my strong suit.
Okay, this has been I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. I've been Bennett. This has been Chuck. We've been talking for way too long, and I hope you all have a beautiful night. These episodes have been batshit crazy, and I'm very excited to finish them out and experience this all with you. And remember, life is easy, like a bantha.
And Harrison Ford.
And Harrison Ford. I'll talk to you guys very soon, probably next week. Actually, definitely next week, because we need to finish the series. Bye!